This is Cradle My Heart Radio with your host, Kim Cotola. Cradle My Heart Radio, preventing abortion and helping those it hurts.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken within, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
And now, Kim Cotola and Cradle My Heart Radio.
Welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio, and thank you so much for choosing to spend some time with us on your weekend. We really appreciate that. I know that there are a lot of ways to spend your Sunday evening, and I know that Sunday evening is becoming an increasingly more popular entertainment venue for television, certainly. So we're really glad that you're here and that you are joining us in our mission of preventing abortion and helping those whom it has hurt. And it's such a big mission, because we can't simply take a look at what happens after an unintended pregnancy happens. If we're going to really talk about preventing abortion, we have to talk about what sets the stage for that unintended pregnancy to happen in the first place. Comprehensive sex ed has led to a culture that says everything is fine, sex is natural, go right ahead. And, do that. And in fact, if you don't, it will be unhealthy for you to not indulge those natural desires. But is there any research that backs that notion up? Joining us to talk about this is Dr. Miriam Grossman, returning to Cradle My Heart Radio to talk more about her book, You're Teaching My Kid What? Dr. Grossman, welcome back to Cradle My Heart.
It's great to be with you, Kim. Thanks for having me again.
And I don't know if I overstated there that comprehensive sex ed is pretty much carte blanche for young people, almost, I guess, of any age, to express their sexuality as a healthy, good, normal, and right thing to do. Is that, do you think, an overstatement?
No, I don't think that's an overstatement at all. I think that the message that young people are getting is, as long as both parties are consenting and not intoxicated, and as long as condoms are used, then yes, it's a healthy thing to experiment and explore your sexuality.
And people would say, because this is coming from, I don't know if it's coming from psychiatrists or psychologists or counselors, but people, I think most of us would assume that there is some scientific basis for those ideas, for that worldview, right? I mean, I don't know if it's been put forward as such, but the assumption is there that there's some evidence that these things are true.
Well, that is maybe an assumption that's made by many people, but it's certainly not based in any kind of reality. The research indicates the opposite, especially for young women. But for young men and women, the delaying sexual behavior is much healthier physically and psychologically. Physically, in terms of sexually transmitted diseases, which are so rampant and much more scary than is described to young people. The more partners someone has, the more likely they are to end up with one or two sexually transmitted diseases. This is a well-known fact. If you even look, far back into medical textbooks, OBGYN textbooks or infectious disease from the 60s or 70s, it's a well-known risk factor. It's going to be listed right at the top there of risk factors for STDs is early sexual debut and multiple partners.
Mm-hmm. And
so,
go ahead.
I'm sorry?
Go ahead, please.
Now, one reason for this, especially in young women, and this highlights the difference in the vulnerabilities of girls and boys to sexual behavior at an early age, is that the cervix of girls, teenage girls, the cervix is the opening to the uterus. It is especially vulnerable to infection at a young age, and as the girl matures and her cervix also matures, it becomes tougher. It sort of grows its own protection against sexually transmitted infections by having the layer of cells there get much, much thicker. And this has also been known for many, many decades. So I explain this in my books, my book Unprotected, my first book, and then the book after that was You're Teaching My Child What, which focuses on what's on the misinformation that is provided to young people in sexuality education. And I believe that the reason why this information about the cervix, which is so well established in medicine, I believe that the reason it's not shared with young people is because it underscores, you know, one of the many, many differences between girls and boys. And the ideology of sexuality education, of course, is steeped in, you know, the leftist falsehoods of, you know, girls and boys are essentially the same. It's only mm-hmm. our society which is, you know, they're raised in such a way, they're given sexist messages by society, and, you know, we have to eliminate those, and we have to let girls and boys know that they are essentially the same, except for some minor anatomical differences. And,
sure.
you know, this then leads into the whole gender ideology, which is a different topic altogether, right. but a very important one. But just getting back to your question, you asked about whether there's scientific evidence behind the assertion or the encouragement by sex educators to explore and experiment your sexuality with your sexuality when you're young, and to have you know, multiple partners and to experiment with different sexual acts, so long as you're wearing a condom, again, and you're not intoxicated and the two parties are consenting, excuse me. And there is no, there the science is on the other side. The science is on the side of it's best to delay sexual behavior. And if two people get together and get married, and their husband and their spouse is their first and only sexual partner, they don't have to worry ever in their lives, their entire lives, about herpes or warts or HIV or chlamydia or this, you know, long list of awful infections that exist out there. They just never have to worry about it.
Mm. Miriam Grossman, MD, is the author of You're Teaching My Child What? A Physician Exposes the Lies of Sex Ed and How They Harm Your Child, as well as she mentioned, three other volumes. And, you know, one of the things that you have said is that sex ed is a social movement. And it's not really even about preventing disease. The whole safe sex thing is really sort of a myth, too. You've written that sex ed's goal is to change society. And one of the ways and one of the groups that's engaged in doing this is CECUS, along with Planned Parenthood, Advocates for Youth. These are some of the list of suspects that parents need to be aware of. And to know if you're looking at these sources for sex education materials from your children, then maybe they're bringing them home from school because Planned Parenthood has infiltrated the schools. They are there teaching as young as kindergarten age. But what is this? What is CECUS? Tell us about them and tell us about their agenda, Dr. Grossman.
Well, the organizations that you mentioned certainly are putting their social agendas, you know, first and foremost at the top of their list. And they would like to reach children as young as possible. They would like to be able to start their sexuality education with 5-year-olds. They their goal is they've sadly succeeded to a certain degree in changing society so that sexual behavior is no longer considered something very special between a man and a woman who have committed to one another, something significant, something that bonds two people in a very unique way. Now, this is still true, all the things that I just said, but what people have been led to believe is that sexual behavior is another type of recreation. You know, it's about pleasure. It's about momentary pleasure, and it denies, again, getting back to the science, we know that hormones are released during intimacy that have a powerful effect on the brain and on emotions, and that people do become emotionally attached to one another through intimacy. And one of the things that that kind of drove me into this area, I was never interested really in sexuality education before, but I was working as a psychiatrist at the University of California in Los Angeles, and I was working there at the Student Counseling Center. So all my patients were UCLA students, and they were, you know, they were young, between the ages of 18 and maybe 25 or 30 in general. And I began to notice that there were young women especially who were coming in distress, perhaps not sleeping or anxious or depressed. And in the course of the interview, I would try and determine what was behind the difficulties they were having. And when I began asking questions about relationships, I realized that a good number of them were involved in the what's called the hookup culture, in which people who may not even know one another's name are engaging in sexual behavior, and there's no expectation whatsoever of even seeing one another again. And I'll explain in a minute why it's women that appear to be suffering the most from this culture, a culture which is endorsed and celebrated even by comprehensive so-called sexuality education. And
feminists and women's groups, right?
Yes, yes. And these young women would be sitting in front of me, and, you know, through a series of questions, we would get to the fact that she had hooked up a number of times with someone, and without any intention really of getting involved, but she had become involved, and she was beginning to wonder how he felt about her and whether he was having thoughts about wanting to see her again and having a relationship. And, you know, she's checking her email and her text to see if he had contacted her, only to realize that, you know, he didn't reciprocate at all. And this was distressing to the students that I saw for a number of reasons. One is, of course, that when you have some attachment to another person and you realize that it's not reciprocated, that's painful. But also, and this is interesting, Kim, is that they thought that there was something wrong with them for feeling that way, because they had bought into this philosophy of sexual behavior just being, you know, a type of pleasure, a fleeting pleasure that isn't necessarily meaningful and doesn't lead to anything emotional, any kind of bond. And so they were thinking that everyone is doing this, but there's something wrong with me because I'm thinking about this guy. And so they're so misinformed about their own biology. And by that, what I mean by that is that there's a very important hormone that everyone should know about called oxytocin. And, you know, you can read a lot more about it. People, I want your listeners to know that I have a website, MiriamGrossmanMD.com, and I have a Facebook page, and there's lots of information, lots of good stuff that you can read there about all these different issues. But oxytocin is a hormone that is released during intimate behavior, and it affects the brain, and it causes it's primarily a female hormone. It exists in men as well, but it causes a woman to have feelings of trust and attachment towards the person that she's with at the time. And this has been shown, this is well established in science. Oxytocin is called the cuddle hormone. That's kind of the nickname that it has. And there's a lot of great research that endorses what I've just explained. So again, just like the information about the cervix, the reason why, in my opinion, young people are not taught about oxytocin is that it does underscore the differences between men and women, because oxytocin, I mean, it's not that men don't get attached mm-hmm. during sexual behavior. They certainly do, and they certainly are capable of developing very devoted and intense relationships with women. That's obvious. Everyone knows that. But I am speaking about the kind of casual, fleeting, you know, we used to call one-night stands kind of behavior, hooking up. That also can cause feelings of attachment, but more so, I believe, and quicker, it seems, in women. And so it underscores, again, the differences between men mm-hmm. and women. So the science, there's science that has to be ignored and unavailable in comprehensive sexuality education, because it goes against one of their primary agendas.
Well, and it strikes me that if a woman were successful in overcoming her biology, in overcoming that female urge to attach, you know, what happens when women become like men, if you will? It's like, if would seem to me that there's something very essential that's lost. It would seem to me that that's not really a gain to shirk that feminine distinctive.
I would agree, because at some point in your life, and the vast majority of these young people do want to find, you know, their soulmate and their forever partner, and be attached and have a deep love toward them. They do want that, and I agree that they're, you know, that this kind of behavior that's being encouraged by sexuality educators can interfere with that, because it's not like you can, you know, your biology is your biology. You can't just turn it on and off. And, you know, what's so interesting about oxytocin is that it's the same hormone that's released during labor and delivery. That's when it's at its highest levels in women, is when they're going through labor and delivery. And, you know, how logical and beautiful is that, that nature or our creator, you know, however one wants to put it, is priming a mother to feel love and attachment toward her newborn. So this is the same hormone that's released during sexual behavior.
Dr. Miriam Grossman is our guest, and we're talking about comprehensive sex ed. She's written a volume on this, You're Teaching My Child What? And it's a physician exposing the lies of sex ed and how they harm your child. And we talked briefly about this at the beginning of our conversation, but one of the things I want to circle back to that you deal with in detail in the book is the discredited founder of sexology, who's been actually dead now for over half a century, is really still exerting more influence on sex education than the scientists, today's imminent, most, you know, celebrated neurobiologists. And part of this, I think, you know, we can circle back to the agenda that you mentioned. But I think that there's also just a general level of ignorance that I'm trying to combat here today. So I want to give you the chance to talk about this, you know, sexology and what the roots are and why it is has been discredited.
Yes, well, you just hit the nail on the head there, that instead of sex education being animated by the most current science that we have, neuroscience, science about infectious diseases, about how we develop, and we have about the brain, we have so much wonderful information coming out. Instead, comprehensive sexuality education is really based in the philosophy of and the ideology of Alfred Kinsey, who, you're right, he's been dead now for something like 50 years, but people need to know that, first of all, he was a very disturbed individual. He was, this isn't a word that you're going to hear very often, but, you know, he was perverted. I mean, he, engaged in behaviors that, you know, now they might be more mainstream, but, let me put it this way, you know, I'm a psychiatrist, a board certified psychiatrist. If someone came to me and reported that he was engaging in the behaviors that Dr. Kinsey was engaging in, which included self-harm for reasons of sexual arousal, I would put him into the hospital and keep him there until we could help him be safe from himself. He was really consumed by dangerous sexual obsessions.
I want to give you a chance to lay out if you have a prescription for us to counter this.
There's really a lot that they can do. And to start with is from an early age, kids need to be made aware that not all the information they're going to get out there is trustworthy. And that they must learn to discriminate, just the same way they discriminate about what they eat. You know, you're careful to consume healthy food and to be careful about smoking, drinking, and you know what you put into your system. You have to discriminate because not everything out there is healthy for you. And that same way of thinking can be applied to other information, including information about sexuality. And parents can make it clear that even though they may be hearing and seeing things out there that seem, you know, to sound good and make sense, and their friends and teachers and so on, movie stars, rock stars, and all of that, that they have to learn that it's not what they see is not always what they get. And hopefully parents can create an atmosphere in the home where kids feel that they can come to their parents with these issues, even though it might be embarrassing, and you acknowledge that this is not so easy to talk about, but it's just so important. I mean, it really can be life-saving at this point to make sure that your kids have the right information. So even if it's awkward and uncomfortable, it needs to be done. And I would recommend, I know we don't have time, but there's an organization called the Medical Institute for Sexual Health, and the website is medinstitute.org. It's out of Austin, Texas. It's not something that I have, I mean, I have great respect for them, but I'm not, you know, I'm not affiliated with them at all. And they have wonderful materials there for parents to use.
Perfect. Thank you very much. And I so agree with you. You know, home and church are the two places where the kids aren't hearing about sex. Every place else, it's all they're hearing about. So, Dr. Grossman, thank you so much for the work that you've done and giving us your time today. We really appreciate you.
You're welcome, Kim.
Stay with us now here at Cradle My Heart. We'll open the phones for your calls at 1-800-811-3003. And do visit us online at cradlemyheart.org for the links that Dr. Grossman mentioned and many other resources to help you and your family in this area of concern. Thanks for listening. This is Cradle My Heart Radio.
A safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion. This is Cradle My Heart Radio.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken within, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
Cradle My Heart. With Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
Welcome, and thank you so much for making Cradle My Heart part of your listening this evening. We are so glad that you are here. And we're live, and our phones are open for your phone calls. 1-800-811-3003. The reason we invited Dr. Grossman back for our featured interview tonight was because when we talked with Victoria Hurst about the pornographic aspect of Cosmopolitan magazine and Victoria's campaign to have it removed from retail locations where minors can purchase Cosmo magazine, her campaign Cosmo Hurts Kids, we followed it up with a conversation about Dr. Grossman's work, about the hookup culture and the danger that it poses to young women in particular. And we got an amazing response. And so I'd love to hear your thoughts about the conversation we have just completed with Dr. Grossman. And our phones are open at 1-800-811-3003. Just for the knowing, Dr. Grossman is not a Christian. She's not imposing Christian values on society. I mean, because this is, of course, the first bit of backlash for anyone who brings a message like Dr. Grossman that Planned Parenthood is has an agenda with their sex education curriculum and with the way with their ideology, because that's all that their curriculum is. It's an ideology. It's not really educational material at all. But she's not a Christian. She happens to be Jewish. And so, first of all, you know, that's an ad hominem attack that doesn't address what she's putting forth as evidence either. But I think it's important to know that. And part of the reason I bring this up is a part of the discussion that I'd like to have with you is that the Christian value around sexual behavior is that it's reserved for marriage, and within marriage, it's a beautiful, wonderful gift from God. It's not seen as something that's wrong or dirty or prohibited. It's to be enjoyed and celebrated within the marriage relationship. Now, I remember when my kids were younger and I came to faith as an adult after my kids were already of elementary school age. And so there was a lot of Christian teaching that was missing in their young lives. And there was a lot of Christian philosophy that was absent from my own life because I just didn't know it and I had never been taught it. And I had a lot of struggle helping my kids to understand, for example, when it was age appropriate, why it would be wrong to kiss someone if you weren't, you know, somehow also going prepared to act in their best interest at all times and put their interests ahead of yours? Why was that wrong? Why was there any moral value attached to kissing or, you know, early sexual behavior? And I'd love to know how you have handled those conversations about the right and wrong of it with young people. And I think Dr. Grossman has put forward just an amazingly vital clarion call and so clearly articulated, you know, the pragmatic aspect of this, that our culture has adopted something that is anti-science in embracing comprehensive sex ed. That is anti-science. And in fact, all of the science would lead to other conclusions than what our culture has embraced. And as a psychiatrist, as she said, she's seeing the results and having to pick up the pieces and put people back together again. So how do you, we could talk about it on that basis too, you know, how it plays out. But I'm really interested in your conversations, not just with your kids, but I mean, your thoughts and your conversations about the right and wrong of it. 1-800-811-3003, from a biblical point of view and a Christian point of view, why is it wrong? And how do you flesh that out for someone who wouldn't understand it without your understanding of the Bible's approach? 1-800-811-3003 is our number. And we just really appreciate hearing from you tonight. 1-800-811-3003. A couple of things that are sidebars to the conversation. A big one is an article that Live Action put up on Facebook this week about how Washington State has now kicked Planned Parenthood out of at least one school. And I think that, you know, we've got that linked at our website at our Facebook page, which is just at Cradle My Heart. If you're on Facebook, just in your search, put in at Cradle My Heart and you'll get to our page. And then you can read the Live Action story. It was also covered on Breitbart this week because, you know, people are not aware that this is actually curriculum and that Planned Parenthood has taken this ideology into the schools, offering it to school districts as public service to be offering sex education for schools that don't have a curriculum to do that currently. Excuse me. And so the Live Action stories by Cassie Fiano was posted last week. Washington School District removes Planned Parenthood sex education from agenda. And they claim to be the largest provider of sex ed in the country, with schools across the nation, Cassie writes, allowing them to counsel children about sex, birth control, abortion, and more. But schools seem to have become less enthusiastic about associating with Planned Parenthood. The Spokane Public Schools Board, allergy issue tonight, forgive me. The Spokane Public Schools Board has tabled discussion on adopting a new Planned Parenthood sex ed curriculum after a member of the Human Growth and Development Citizens Advisory Council Committee removed the support. And so there is now no date scheduled for discussion on adopting that curriculum. The program in question is called Get Real, and it's an LGBT-friendly comprehensive sex ed curriculum developed by Planned Parenthood League of Massachusetts. Now, if you go to our website today, cradlemyheart.org, I've got some information for you there about CECUS, which Dr. Grossman talked with us about, and its roots and its founding in cooperation and in sponsorship by Planned Parenthood. CECUS is the public education arm of Planned Parenthood. And so Planned Parenthood doesn't put their name on this, but anytime you're looking at comprehensive sex ed, it has their seal of approval. And Spokane is not the first city to drop this recently. Earlier this year, Saline area schools in Michigan announced that they would no longer work with Planned Parenthood to provide sex education. They said the abortion chain was too divisive. A live-action investigation uncovered disturbing and dangerous advice being given to children by Planned Parenthood counselors across the country, and it's really not suitable for Radio. But I do urge you to, you know, check it out on Facebook or just go to Live Action and look for this article by Cassie Fiano about Washington State rejecting Planned Parenthood sex education from their agenda. And the point here is not only that, of course, Planned Parenthood receives taxpayer funding specifically earmarked to provide sex education to children, but that most parents have no idea and would be shocked to discover what that actually consists of. Again, we're not going to go there because it really isn't suitable, but it's extremely disturbing. And I don't think that any of us as Christian parents would be comfortable knowing that this was being offered in a public school setting. And as Dr. Grossman said, the word perverted is not too strong to use in these cases. So there's that. I want you to think about that. And I want you to, you know, I mean, is Planned Parenthood in your child's schools? Do you know? Is there sex education in your child's schools? Are you aware? Are you involved with it? 1-800-811-3003 is our number. 1-800-811-3003. And our phones are open for you. I've mentioned in the past that I trained to present abstinence education with the curriculum. It's called Choosing the Best. And evidence-based research has shown that this curriculum actually not only improves students delaying sexual debut and sexual activity, but it improves just about every aspect of the students' lives, including graduation rates and other things that would not be necessarily the most the first thing that we would think of when we think about sex education. So let's go to the phones at 1-800-811-3003, and let's welcome Emily, who's listening to our live stream from Los Angeles. Emily, welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Mm-hmm.
I had a question for you, and I didn't understand, you know, talking about keeping these certain, you know, groups that you're saying push their agenda onto our children. I don't understand why keeping the information from them is beneficial. It feels kind of like you're hiding them from what's out there in the world, and rather, I would rather just raise positive, you know, moral children and have them be able to make those decisions for themselves rather than shield them from what is definitely out there and what they're capable of. And I'm wondering, I'm just curious about the approach because it feels very militaristic almost.
So did you listen to the interview with Dr. Grossman?
I did.
Okay. So, and did you find any of her content objectionable?
I found it very, very fascinating, everything she was saying about, you know, the serotonin and all of that, but it felt like, it felt very one-sided, you know, it's an opinion. It's just one opinion.
This is important, Emily, because what Dr. Grossman presented was evidence. And as a starting point, CECAS, Planned Parenthood, Comprehensive Sex Ed, it's all the same thing, puts forth the idea that sexuality is inculcated from birth, that children are sexual from birth, and that every expression of sexuality is good as long as it's consensual and there's no alcohol involved. And starting at a very young age, And there is zero evidence to support that. It's been put forth as science, but as Dr. Grossman has said, there is zero evidence to support that. And so this comes to fruition in these curricula that Planned Parenthood is, making available to schools as teens are encouraged to experiment with bondage, with S&M, to play with their bodily waste fluids. Counselors promoted bestiality. And this is not extremism.
Not what Planned Parenthood is about at all.
Get Real is the curriculum. You're misinformed. The curriculum is called Get Real. You're misinformed.
To be honest, what you're promoting is just propaganda, and it's not true what you're saying about Planned Parenthood. It's just not. And it's, I hope that my children have access to Planned Parenthood, and I am going to raise them to be thinkers, and I hope that they fall in love with one person and, you know, and enjoy that with one person. Of course I do. What parent doesn't want that? But what I want them to be able to, I want them to have all the information and have access to it and make those decisions for themselves rather than delete it from their arena, you know?
Okay, Emily, if you refuse to accept the evidence that has been put forward and you want to reject it and call it propaganda without any evidence that the argument that's being made or that the evidence presented is wrong or somehow flawed, that's your right to do that, you know. But I think that you should be informed. The curriculum is real. It's called Get Real. We have, you know, as I said, we've got it linked on our Facebook page. You can go and read about the live action coverage. They are linked to, their article is linked to Get Real by, you know, which Breitbart covers, helps kids wait until they're older to have sex. That's, you know, something that's, of course, beneficial. Everybody would agree to. But the vice president of education and training at Planned Parenthood says among students who received Get Real, you know, there was delayed sexual debut. She gives some numbers for that. And she said, you know, that there's evidence that it works. But if you dig into it, you see that they're promoting to kids in grade 8 that bondage and even, you know, sexual play that would result in welts or burning is not abusive and is acceptable.
I don't think you've read the materials correctly, and you're giving misinformation to your listeners, and it's really unfortunate. That is just wrong. That's not even true. And it's so frustrating because I want to listen to your show, and I believe in the same things, some of the same things that you talk about, but I had to call in because it's not what is good for our children. It isn't. And keeping them out of the world we live in, they will not understand I'm just frustrated that Planned Parenthood is in a lot of your listeners' minds, it's marked as this evil demon, awful thing. And rather, yes, there's bad parts about all of the institutions. And,
okay, Emily, I don't want to interrupt you, but we do have to get to a break. Will you hold on and we can continue after we take a short break? If you're willing to stay with us, we'll let you finish your thought, but we really do have to get to a break, okay? All right, hang on. This is Cradle My Heart Radio. Our phones are open, 1-800-811-3003. What do you think about what you've heard? Am I off the mark? Give us a call. Love to hear from you tonight.
A safe place to connect with others. Finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
Phones are open and we'd love to hear from you at 1-800-811-3003. We're talking about comprehensive sex ed and the Get Real curriculum. Follow-up discussion to our guest tonight, Dr. Miriam Grossman, who's the author of You're Teaching My Child What?, which is a devastating critique of the failure of comprehensive sex ed and the particular damage that it has done in the lives of young women of college age who have bought into the hookup culture only to find they have a rash of emotional and psychological and physical problems from casual sex. 1-800-811-3003 is our number. And Emily, we have a short time remaining, so if you can please just get to your main point. I wanted to give you the chance to finish your thought. Thanks for calling.
Well, I guess it's difficult for me to get to my main point because I'm having problems with what you just said while we were coming back on air. just about, you know, specifically talking about women and how this is a problem that young women are having. And I don't think it's a biological problem, as the doctor stated, and I disagree with that, because I think it's not women, it's men and women. And the problem that we have, and why women are more susceptible and more likely to go into the counselor's office, is a deeper societal problem on how women are treated and men are treated in society, and how they're built societally to view sex. So I don't think it's a biological issue, and I don't think keeping young men or women from learning about sex education, like from learning about sex through the programs that Planned Parenthood provide, is going to solve any of the problems that we have.
All right. Thank you so much for calling. I really do appreciate the respectful tone and giving us your time and weighing in and sharing your thoughts with us. Thank you so much, Emily. Appreciate you calling. 1-800-811-3003. Well, the school districts that have dropped the sex ed curriculum from Planned Parenthood in Washington, in Michigan, and in many other states would disagree with Emily. And I just urge you, as parents and as concerned individuals and citizens, to look into it and see whether or not what I'm saying is propaganda, and see what is actually involved in these curricula. One of the things that I really appreciate about Dr. Grossman's presentation is that she offered an alternative. She recommended a website that gives great information, the Medical Institute for Sexual Health. It's medinstitute.org. And there is a page for parents about having conversations with young people. The other resource that I can recommend is this curriculum that I'm trained to present, Choosing the Best, the Abstinence-Only Education. And one of the things about effective implementation of that program, or any program that is talking with young people about sex education, is that it's not a one and done. There's no such thing as the talk, right? I mean, the school districts that have had the very best success with abstinence education have had age-appropriate models brought in beginning in middle school and continuing every year as age-appropriate changes occur through graduation. When that happens, districts see real differences in children and in students being able to have a different opinion about sexual behavior, make decisions about power in relationships, make decisions about keeping themselves safe from sexually transmitted diseases, and avoiding unplanned pregnancy. And of course, abstinence is the only 100% foolproof method for both of those precautions. There is no, the illusion of safe sex has been exploited by the abortion industry to create a market for their main product, abortion. And because there are so many birth control failures, there is a built-in market for them to then offer abortion services. You can say that that's a very cynical remark on my part, but you can also listen to the testimony of former abortion workers about how that calculus plays out within the abortion facility and in the abortion industry, I should say. 1-800-811-3003 is our number. George Will wrote an editorial today for the Washington Post, and this was, I think, maybe a great note to end on. His piece today is titled, "The Path to Prosperity is Built on Marriage Before Babies." And he's writing about the success sequence. And it's been suggested in research by Ron Haskins and Isabel Sawhill from the Brookings Institution. And I think there's also a Millennial Success Sequence report that's just been published by the American Enterprise Institute and the Institute for Family Studies. Wendy Wang of the IFS and W. Bradford Wilcox, University of Virginia at AEI, are the authors of it. The success sequence, previously suggested in research by others, is first get at least a high school diploma, then get a job, then get married, and only then have children. Wang and Wilcox, focusing on millennials aged 28 to 34, have found that only 3% who follow this sequence are poor, and a comparably stunning 55% of this age cohort have had children before marriage. Only 25% of baby boomers had so. 86% of the Wang Wilcox millennials who put marriage before baby carriage have family incomes in the middle or top third of incomes. You know, God's way is best. God's sequence is for our good. And I can appreciate that it may seem as though I am trying to demonize Planned Parenthood. However, what I'm actually trying to do is affirm that God's way is best. And I can tell you that although Planned Parenthood has tried through various measures and is continuing to try to bring a veneer of religiosity to what they do is antithetical to God's best. Sexual behavior is best reserved for marriage, and children are best reserved for marriage. I thank you so much for listening. Our time is short for such a big conversation and topic. Please feel free to email me, kim@cradlemyheart.org. I view all my emails personally, and I'll respond to you within 24 hours. Hope you can join us again next week. Remember, Jesus loves you, and so do we.